It's the 2015 Urban Journalism Workshop, and this is Straight Up Urban Voice. I'm Helena Assefa. Some of the most prominent news stories this spring focused on police brutality against suspects. What hasn't been heard a lot? The police point of view.
We grieve, we feel, we get upset, we cry.
The World Police and Fire Games in Fairfax, Virginia is one event that shows just how much. Plus, it puts the city on the world stage.
It goes from city to city all across the world, and in and out in our backyard, and it's a fantastic opportunity.
Also in this year's show,
Hogan killed the Purple Line.
Controversy surrounds a proposal to add a new rail line in the metro area. In this spring, numerous candidates have announced their intentions of running in the 2016 presidential election. Stay tuned to hear who the presidential hopefuls are in the order they entered the race. But first, this news.
For Straight Up Urban Voice News, I'm Lila Bromberg. Baltimore City State Attorney Marilyn Mosby in May announced criminal charges against six police officers in the death of Freddie Gray.
The manner of death, deemed a homicide by the Maryland State Medical Examiner, is believed to be the result of a fatal injury that occurred while Mr. Gray was unrestrained by a seatbelt in the custody of the Baltimore Police Department wagon.
Gray's death sparked protests, and looting triggered a state of emergency. Earth Day is celebrated worldwide on April 22nd to raise awareness of environmental issues. Earth Day also addresses human rights and poverty. Straight Up Urban Voice reporter Helena Assefa was on the scene in Washington, D.C.
The National Mall played host to a star-studded concert.
Yeah.
Usher and Common performed Glory from the movie Selma. The Global Citizen 2015 Earth Day website says the concert is an event to inspire citizens to take action to protect the planet and its people. Helena Assefa, Straight Up Urban Voice News, Washington.
So darling, darling, stand by me.
Singer-songwriter Ben E. King, best known for his hit Stand By Me, is one among a number of notable deaths this year.
The thrill is gone, baby.
Others include another King, singer-songwriter B.B. King, as well as actor Leonard Nimoy, best known as Spock on Star Trek, and Vice President Joe Biden's son, Beau Biden. I'm Lila Bromberg, Straight Up Urban Voice News. The advent of social media provides virtually instant access to events and happenings just about anywhere. As a result, more and more incidents of police brutality in the United States have been on display. Straight Up Urban Voice senior Courtney Edwards of From the Heart Christian School in Suitland, Maryland, reports that despite the plethora of negative images and stories involving law enforcement, not all police are demonstrating bad behavior.
Black Lives Matter!
In recent years, police brutality has been a hot topic in the media. The Washington Post reports that one in six people were unarmed and two-thirds of the fatalities involved either African-Americans or Hispanics. 12-year-old Tamir Rice of Cleveland, Ohio, 19-year-old Michael Brown of Ferguson, Missouri, and 50-year-old Walter Scott of North Charleston, South Carolina, all African-American, were shot. 25-year-old Freddie Gray of Baltimore, Maryland, also African-American, suffered a spinal cord injury and died while in police custody. In Staten Island, New York, another African-American, 43-year-old Eric Garner, was choked. And the list goes on. But the public is less familiar with how the police are affected by each of these situations.
We grieve, we feel, we get upset, we cry. You know, the Bible, don't take a life, yet you've had to take someone's life. That's something that never goes away.
Bobby Padgett is the co-founder and vice president of United for Blue and the wife of a Prince George's County policeman. She notes most officers follow the law.
There are over 900,000 police officers in this country that they don't want bad officers any more than we as citizens want bad officers. They want them in jail just as much as, you know, anyone else.
United for Blue works to bridge the gap between communities and police.
One of the things that we've done is the thank you card program, which is we want, you know, citizens and we want students in school to send thank you notes, and we can show all these officers that they are cared for and appreciated.
Because police work can be dangerous. On occasion, officers risk their lives, oftentimes for strangers. Officer Down Memorial Page reports 54 police deaths in the line of duty so far this year.
Our job is to protect and serve the community.
Montgomery County, Maryland Police Department Detective William Peacock explains his take on how the media has influenced the public's reactions to police brutality.
I believe the media has gone overboard in their interpretations of the events that are going on, and in many cases they've actually helped to fuel fires that were small, that became just way out of proportion, based on wrong information.
Peacock adds the stories have influenced people's opinions, and these opinions have helped to shape negative attitudes. The numerous incidents have contributed to many residents' distrust of police.
5 George K.
I would say that it's going to be necessary that everybody takes time to meet with one another, okay? And that's not only the police going out to the community, but the community can come on down to the police station and stop in and get to know their community police officers, community resource officers.
Many citizens and law enforcement suggest the use of body cameras worn by police to help curb the violence.
I'm going to be proposing some new community policing initiatives that will significantly expand funding and training for local law enforcement, including up to 50,000 additional body-worn cameras for law enforcement agencies.
Some police departments already have incorporated the technology. It is yet to be seen if President Obama's proposal will be implemented nationwide. Courtney Edwards, Straight Up Urban Voice.
From our presidential files.
First to enter the 2016 presidential race, Texas Senator Ted Cruz announced March 23rd as a Republican contender. Fellow Republican, Kentucky Senator Rand Paul, followed in early April. Then, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton jumped into the race, becoming the first Democratic candidate.
In April, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, previously an independent, signed on as a Democrat, and Republican Senator Marco Rubio from Florida entered the race.
Expansion of Washington, D.C.'s Metro Rail system is in question. A proposal for the Purple Line, which will run between Montgomery and Prince George's counties, is being considered. One of the areas impacted will be the Capitol Crescent Trail. It is a shared-use, off-road trail spanning Georgetown and Washington, D.C. to Silver Spring, Maryland. Straight Up Urban Voice sophomore Lila Bromberg of the Field School in Washington, D.C. reports some Capitol Crescent Trail users and nearby residents are concerned about disruption to the public path.
Hogan killed the Purple Line!
Chevy Chase resident Marsha Francis, who lives along the Capitol Crescent Trail, is clearly one of the opponents of the Purple Line proposal. Talks to construct the new line have been underway since the early 2000s. It would be 16 miles of track and run from Bethesda to New Carrollton, Maryland, connecting to the red, green, and orange lines. While some residents are concerned about the hefty price tag, others are worried about the disturbance and environmental damage the addition will cause to the Capitol Crescent Trail.
You're going to have a train and a pathway next to it with the renderings that MTA have come out with. You know, show a little green strip in between, maybe some plantings. But the way that it's been described is that you couldn't have any overhanging trees. So all the trees have to go.
Ajay Bhatt is the president of the Friends of the Capitol Crescent Trail organization. It is one of the groups opposing the Purple Line proposal. He says the group's main concern is keeping the trail, commonly used for biking, walking, and running, intact for generations to come.
Certainly, we are advocating for preserving this as a park. It's frustrating to think about the possibility of it all being sacrificed for a project that I don't think is well thought out and I don't think is worth the money, especially when there are other things that we can do with that money for transit.
Among some of Bhatt's suggestions are an improved bus system and expansion of Capital Bike Share. On the flip side, proponents for the Purple Line argue that it will create a more efficient transit system and encourage economic development. Purple Line Now representatives were not available for an interview, but the group's website claims that the light rail will decrease travel time significantly for tens of thousands of transit riders and create thousands of jobs. Friends of the Capitol Crescent Trail's Ajay Bhatt says that's not enough, and so the group is taking legal action.
We've sent a letter of intent to sue the state of Maryland, and at the same time, just recently, the state MTA has notified the court that they plan to join the Fish and Wildlife Service and the FTA as a defendant in our legal case against FTA and Fish and Wildlife Service.
The legal case could play into Governor Hogan's decision. He has postponed an announcement that originally was expected in May, keeping proponents and opponents of the Purple Line in suspense. Lila Bromberg, Straight Up Urban Voice.
From our presidential files.
Retired neurosurgeon Ben Carson and HP's former CEO, Carly Fiorina, both announced their bid for the presidency on May 4th. The very next day, fellow Republican Mike Huckabee, a former governor of Arkansas, announced his bid on May 5th. The presidential competition grows in late May with former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum and past New York Governor George Pataki entering as GOP candidates. Former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley announces as a Democrat.
This year's host of the International Police and Fire Games is Fairfax, Virginia. The games provide a venue for police, law enforcement, firefighters, and first responders from all over the world to compete. For many, the long preparation beforehand is just as important as the games. Straight Up Urban Voice freshman Helena Acefa of W.T. Woodson High School in Fairfax tells us the games also promote unity and respect.
For Second Lieutenant Tony Shobe, using the treadmill is part of a well-orchestrated routine.
8 miles an hour.
I run 2 or 3 days a week. I do sprints another day a week. It's all in preparation for these games.
Shobe is competing in softball with his colleagues from the Sheriff's Office in Fairfax County, Virginia. He's not only participating as an athlete.
I am also the Director of Sports for the World Police and Fire Games, specifically Fairfax 2015.
And it's been a 4-year project for him with 61 different sports, 53 different venues, 10,000 athletes, and 4,000 volunteers. Coordinating the games is a massive undertaking.
Sports is one big part of it, but the transportation piece, the medical piece, the food and beverage piece, the logistics piece. I mean, this is going to be a once-in-a-lifetime event in Fairfax County.
Not only has Shobe seen a shift in the community, he's also noticed a change in his colleagues at the sheriff's office.
I've seen an uptick in the people that we have here in our weight room here in the sheriff's office. We've talked to competitors in Fairfax County here that are pushed up. They've pumped up their training in anticipation for these games.
Among those colleagues is Sergeant Sean Timothy. Timothy will be competing in the swim portion of the games. After more than a decade out of the pool, Timothy welcomed the chance to dive back in the water.
I hadn't been in a competitive atmosphere in 15 years. So me getting back in the water and getting back on the blocks and being prepared to race another individual in that setting, it was a big step for me.
Timothy is completing 10 hours of training a week on his own time, both in the pool and in the gym. He says that the 10 hours of training is well worth it.
It goes from city to city all across the world and in and out in our backyard, and it's a fantastic opportunity.
Fellow competitor Deputy Adam Ushremsky of the Fairfax County Sheriff's Office Honor Guard shares that sentiment.
I would say that the biggest thing that I would like to gain, and I'm sure a lot of the other competitors here in Fairfax would like to gain, is just the opportunity to compete as an Olympic athlete. You know, with it being in our hometown now, we all have the opportunity to call ourselves an Olympic athlete.
Honor Guard is one of the many events athletes can choose to compete in. Deputy Chris Loftus will be representing Fairfax in the Honor Guard competition.
As far as training goes, it's long and it's stressful and it is physically taxing, but there's an end goal in sight, and that's obviously be, you know, one of the top teams that compete in the competition and to represent Fairfax well.
Aside from the intense training and grueling competition, these games work to promote physical fitness within law enforcement. Sergeant Timothy notes what resonates with him is the opportunity to celebrate dedication and sacrifice in public security. The International Police and Fire Games will commence on June 26, 2015. Helena Acefa, Straight Up Urban Voice News, Washington. You've been listening to Straight Up Urban Voice Spring 2015. I'm Helena Acefa. Our mentors are Susan Carter and Trina Williams. We'd like to give special thanks to NPR for providing meeting and recording studio space. Straight Up Urban Voice is made possible by the Washington Association of Black Journalists.
Pickup, 3, 2, 1.
Pickup, 3, 2, 1.
Pickup, 3, 2, 1. That's how we indicate our retakes in radio. Hear 2015 stories at www.ujwonline.org.